Line up and play football.
You get where you feel like you can rush the quarterback. You understand? Rush the quarterback.
Trib Live Radio presents the Mark Cavalli Show. Every Monday, 2 p.m. to Steel Mill is live right now on Trib Live Radio. Here's your host, Mark Cavalli.
I like it. I like it.
It sure feels like I was just here a couple days ago. We are back in our original time here on the Cavalli Show on Trib Live Radio. So, like I said, this is the Cavalli Show. I'm Mark Cavalli, Steelers beat writer for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and we're high atop a cloudy day, high atop the Clark Building on the lovely North Shore, and I do believe I see the top of Allegheny General Hospital in the distance. Let's talk about, do we? Yeah, some stuff happened on Thursday at the OTAs. OTAs weekend. Well, they're going to get back at it come Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, second week of OTAs. Be midway through it. See if there's some things that have changed from week one, the duration of OTAs. I mean, if you tuned in on Thursday, I broke down some of that stuff that happened. And what we expect, there's not really much that's been a difference. At least a lot of the same things. Maybe who's running with the ones might surprise you a little bit. Arthur Moats, Jarvis Jones, linebackers with James Harrison, Bud Dupree. Looks like it's going to be Jarvis Jones getting all the options at the right outside linebacker. Harrison backing him up. Moats starting the left with Dupree. I did talk to Jarvis Jones. We'll get into that later. His comments, I had a nice little one-on-one with him. Tell me his surgically repaired wrist is maybe not 100% quite yet. Nothing probably to really, really worry about, but keep your eye on that. Also talked to here, big man, 6'7". He said he was 365 last year. He's right around 350 now. You wouldn't think 15 pounds on a 365-pound man, 6'7", would be noticeable, but it is quite noticeable. Classic thing to conjecture. You don't get hearsay. You don't get snippets. You get the whole one-on-one, baby. Dan McCullers. How many times can you hear 5 minutes worth of Dan McCullers talk? Or 5 minutes worth of Steve McClendon talk? Or PM? I made this tweet probably Thursday. Tuesday wouldn't be late last week. Tuesday would have been early last week. But I made a tweet that so far the week one of OTA means when there's 90 people out there doing mundane drills day after day after day, everything tends to look the same. But every once in a while, you see a player make a play, make a play, make a play. After two, after third play, you're all of a sudden saying, you know what? And the other was the punter. Backup punter, Jordan Berry. Let's break this down real quick now. Let's go to what Antoine Blake is. First of all, Antoine Blake is, as of right now, you're starting, I think he's on the right side, right cornerback. And they go forward in that. And that means Antoine Blake is going, it's a de facto starter. That's what he's going to be. I think, are we really underestimating the potential of Antoine Blake is what I'm really asking here. He had it near the end of that game. That might have been the first game he played. And plus the big fumble, forced fumble. I think he forced it and recovered it in the Cincinnati season finale. And it was an extremely important point of the game right there. That's Cincinnati was dry. And I think one of the reasons why the Steelers didn't go out and really put a huge emphasis on the defensive backs is they think Antoine Blake is a guy who can fill in and be productive. William Gay, I guess he has some question marks. I mean, he said it himself this week, William Gay. Yeah, I wasn't a starter last year, and he wasn't. He didn't start the season as a starter. It was Cortez Allen, and it was Ike Taylor. But at 9 depth chart receiver, he was able to make some plays. And when you're making name plays against that variety of people and that caliber of play people, it tends to open your eyes a little bit. That's what you look for. That's at least what I look for in OTAs, somebody who can make a play or two. Second Australian. I swear they have to be the only team in the league that has two Australian-born punters. But this guy, not only, if you don't know, they signed him maybe 2 months ago. I think he was out of Eastern Kentucky, maybe Western Kentucky, somewhere in Kentucky.
For instance, every time I give
you an example, he was just sitting there. When the Steelers practice, there's three fields, and they don't like to use the same fields back-to-back days. They're just trying to save the field, so they were using the middle field. So the field closest to where the media is allowed to sit in here, and I know Josh Taylor will know what this means, Coffin Corner. You're probably thinking, what the hell is a Coffin Corner? Coffin Corner was before there was a such thing as an Aussie roll punt, you know, the back whatever, when you kick the top of the ball and it dies where it lands.
The funnier it is. I love my
Coffin, if you that's where they try to put the ball at. He was not only able to drop five balls within 4 yards of each other every single time he punted, but the height was something you have to really, really. You know what? The next time I see it, I'm going to actually try to time. And directional was better than Brad Wing. The question is, one time he did shank one, and guess who was there watching? Some guy in black long sleeves named Mike Tomlin, and he had a comment about that. You have to be consistent in that position. You're saying, well, Brad Wing's a hold for the kicker as well. That's a big part of the job, which I don't think it really matters for Sean Swisham as many different holders he had. But that's the two guys. Another one, you know, C.J. Goodwin. He's the Cal U guy. He's the guy that was Mel Blunt, Hall of Fame cornerback, called up the organization and said, hey, why don't you take a look at this kid? And he's shown that he can be, I wouldn't say the next Justin Brown, because Justin Brown actually made the team and was able to play for the. But that's about what happened over there at the South Side. A little bit more, like I said, going on this week. What I really want to talk about is Jarvis Jones. Jarvis Jones and if he's a bust or not. Rob Rossi. But is it fair to say that Jarvis Jones is make or break bust year for him? I think it will be the make or break season for him. But I don't think it should be in the Steelers' defense. What, Kendrell Bell? And you saw what happened to Shazier last year after he got hurt. Doesn't happen. So it's not surprising that he did struggle that first year. I remember him getting yanked out of that Oakland game because he really. Not only did he win that job of right outside linebacker. But he performed well. I know it's only was 10 quarters. He was, how many times have he been criticized for only being a speed guy, and he was able to sack Cam Newton with that inside rush? But when you break your wrist like that, I mean, the season's lost. I mean, it's a very, very struggle. He struggled because of the hand. You have to use your hands to be able to pass rush. You have a dislocated wrist. You can't really use your wrist. It should be year two, year three, making that jump. But the problem is next year at this time, they're going to have to make a decision whether or not the fifth year option him, to pick up the team's option on the fifth year. You do that by, what, April, early May? If he has an uneven year left. So it is pretty imperative to stay healthy. You have to stay healthy first. One thing that the Steelers don't, and it's history, and you look down what and name the people that it's happened to, still playing to this day, that they got rid of because they couldn't go on the field. One was Willie Colon, constantly injured. They said, I'd much rather have a guy like Ramon Foster, who maybe misses one game a year, than Willie Colon that's constantly injured. They ate a ton. You can't stay healthy. So if he has another year where something happens and he can't get on the field, they're not picking up that option. There's no way. Now, can he do it? I think he can. Guys, you're comparing him to Jason Worlds, who's normally on that side, you know, the right side. You're comparing, I mean, some of the big linebackers over the history, the Woodleys, Greg Lloyd, to stay healthy. And I think there's two ways of getting that done. I mean, it's a fine line. It's a fine line of getting Jarvis the snaps he needs to show if he's going to be a player or not, and getting James Harrison enough snap amount of snaps that Joey Porter said he was going to get. He kind of scoffed at it. Said, yeah, that's what they said last year as well. But they have to. They really have to be very – maybe Keith Butler will be in their best interest is to stay the course. But Jarvis Jones, I did catch up with him. A little one-on-one action, Jarvis Jones. And he's a very personable guy. And that's, you don't see this in the NFL, or at least with the Steelers very much. A personable young man. You think it's not something simple? Yeah, I mean, something simple. But these guys sometimes take themselves way too serious. And I was able to catch up with Jarvis Jones, ask him a bunch of stuff, including his wrist injury. Jarvis Jones, one-on-one with yours truly.
Every time I hear somebody talk about your defense, they talk about what you guys can't do. You guys take that personal and thinking, hey, we're closer than maybe people think.
Man, you know, at the end of the day, we're out here working, man. We don't care what people say. We just know we're going to put in the work. We're going to come out here and get better every day. And it's just going to show when it's
arriving, so to speak.
Man, I'm working, man. We're working as a unit. I'm working hard, getting better every day. And it's going great. I think I had a great week here. And things are going well, man. You know, everything in the past is already gone.
Did that affect you down the stretch that last month, the wrist? I mean, didn't Worlds have something similar, and it took him 2 years?
Man, yeah, it was tough. It's a tough injury, man, to break your wrist and stuff. And I think I sat out 8 weeks and really didn't even bounce back from it. Really didn't even play much towards the some motion mobility stuff that I'm working on with it.
4 first-round picks. Any pressure there, knowing that people are looking at, you know, you 4 first-round linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Any pressure knowing that everybody's looking on you guys to be the glue here?
There's always pressure, man. You're in the NFL, man. And I think we got a great team. We got a great units. And everybody focused and sold in to what we're trying to do here. So, just going to keep chopping wood day by day, man, and trying to learn as much as we can and get better every day.
Let me ask you about Antoine Blake.
It was at the end of the season. Well, throughout the season, man, I got hurt the same day. So Antoine came in, and he stepped in and played a whole lot for us, and he made a lot of plays. So, I mean, he's just picking up where he left off from. We knew he had the ability the whole time. He was just waiting for his time to get his opportunity. I mean, he's a hell of a player, and I love watching him. But, I mean, he's a hard worker. He knows what it takes, and I mean, he out here grinding and working hard every day.
See, something clicked on him. I mean, he got a little slimmer, working out more, he was saying. Something clicked from year 1 to 2. Does that typically happen?
I guess, man, you get around the older guys, man, you figure things out. You see how serious people are about taking care of their body. Cam over there, and, I mean, they definitely showing them the way.
That was Jarvis Jones. Me and him powwowing a little bit on the south side late last week. He was talking about Dan McCullers and other guys putting Scottsdale, Arizona this offseason with James Harrison and others, including Vince Williams, Sean Spence, et cetera, working out, seeing how it's done. So Jarvis Jones is very, very interested in providing pressure again. They didn't have pressure on the quarterback the past couple of years. I'm not even talking about sacks. I'm talking about actual legit pressures, hurries, quarterback hurries. Not a lot of them. They think he can be able to do that, Jarvis Jones. You got another year under Joey Porter, or, you know, really a – you saw some of those moves come in early in that season. Like I said, Joey Porter didn't really have much time to work with him after that as well, and don't underestimate how much or how big that is. Jones. And he mentioned something about Dan McCullers. Big Dan, he's one of the fan favorites. Everybody wants to know about Dan McCullers. The guy that played 80 snaps last year is more interested in the masses than some guy playing 500-600 snaps. I mean, he's a very years old and weighed 420 pounds. But he was able to dunk the ball in jeans by just jumping and throwing it down. Athletic kid, never had much motivation. His motivation was, if you have somebody on your butt to tell him what to do, he was very good at what he was. 80 snaps last year when you saw him get drafted in the sixth round. I would have never guessed that. He didn't know what he was doing, but the sheer size and strength and just power, he was able to go in there and at least not look like he's totally lost. Do you rely on Dan McCullers? There's not really much behind those two in the way of nose tackles, but do you need any nose tackles? How much do you really need a true nose tackle anymore? A true Vince Wilfork, one technique, two technique type of guy? End up over the center, line up over the center guard snap, or can't we just say whatever? When people use those type of terms, I laugh. The pass rush. But Dan McCullers and playing football. How did you get that big? I asked him this last year. He said, oh, just, you know, eating soda, drinking soda, eating Doritos and playing Madden. That typically would do it. He went to an NC State camp between his junior and senior year. 20-pound athletes at the Georgia Military College, but he went on to Tennessee. And like I said, what everybody's intrigued by him is Big Dan is the size. Like I said, 6'7", 365. You would think the Steelers wanted him to lose weight, but that's not the case. He lost weight, athletic enough to play the position. That's where you have Dan McCullers is, you know, straddling that line. He's athletic enough to play, but he's that big as well. He lost 15 pounds down to nice Southern man. The Southern boy, I better not say that. Those Southern men are very polite. But I asked him, I said, do you feel any difference losing 15 pounds? He goes, exact quote. He says, yeah, especially when I'm stretching. He goes, I lift up my legs and they aren't as heavy. They're a position for him. You have to understand, if you're going nickel 50% of the time, give or take a percent, there's not going to, and you're the number two guy behind Steve McClendon. Well, you probably should be. There's not a lot of snaps open there unless you can play in. He's in there, and Stephon Tuitt too, and that's the two guys that probably should be in there. But they're going to need time to be able to. They need breaks as well. So I asked Steve McClendon, "You'll even? What's the opposite of? I guess I'm foreshadowing. I don't know." When Josh Taylor has baseball tackle, you're going to have to play. If you're one on the field more than 20% of the snaps, you're going to have to play more than one position. And Josh Taylor changes it to ESPN Classic. And is there a better sound bite than Chuck Noll? Is that when he grabbed Jerry Glanville in the middle of the field, and he said, it had to be when Glanville coached the Oilers. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever. I'm sure that was it, but that's what's on TV right now if you want to click it on. Dan McCullers, talking about big guys. Where can he play? Is he to have the ability to play the two positions? I'm not quite sure, but there are spots for him. And I think it's more King for some reason. Jarvis Jones tells me it's going to be fun watching Big Dan. Lawrence Timmons, he's going to be fun to watch. Antoine Blake, sky's the limit for Big Dan. He also called him a behemoth. I left that out of my story that I wrote the other day just for the fact that is behemoth a – I don't know. I wonder if he had the egg. See, when I go to Primanti's, I go with the colossal fish. Colossal fish.
Very underrated sandwich.
Oh, I love the colossal. Very underrated. Do you use a lot of the hot sauce?
Got to use the hot sauce.
Oh, I do.
Fish.
I mean, I
you have to.
Not only that is, I use half a bottle. The wife looks at me like I'm not. Foster House in my hometown of Belle Vernon have their own version of the Primanti sandwich, and might be a little bit better. They use the mayo based coleslaw rather than the vinegar based.
Ah,
it makes
big
it a little
difference.
Creamier. A little creamier.
Because I'm a cap and egg man myself. So
do it.
There you go. Well, all roads lead to Primanti's.
Well, enough of me and Josh talking. You want to hear what Dan McCullers had to say? Dan McCullers is a very quiet young man. I think he called me sir a couple times. I'm far from being a sir, but this is Dan McCullers and myself talking about
day number two, the second time around. A little bit easier than last year.
Oh yeah, it's much easier. You know, when you know the system. You know most of the plays from last year, so kind of similar. So that's a good thing for me.
Last year at this time, were you wondering, hey, can I do this in the NFL? Now you know. Is that safe to say?
And that one good year under my belt, you know, I kind of learned a lot. Now I know what to expect.
Was there at any point last year that you said, okay, I can do this? Do you remember at any point?
I would say after I got done with training camp. Tough training camp, man. Work hard, and you know, I learned a lot. Got prepared for everything. Just be more productive. You know, get on the field more, work even harder than I did last year. Try to get better on my craft, my technique. That's the biggest thing. My technique, staying low, and you know, using my hands and working my feet.
It was always staying low for you.
Yeah.
You beat that yet, or is it getting better?
It's getting much harder.
Looks like you slimmed down a little. Did they tell you that, or is that by your stamina?
Yeah, when I came back. Like a month ago, everybody was saying, "Hey, old day, you look pretty good. You look good." I was like, "Okay, I don't know what I did to look so good, but I guess it was just working out, you know, eating the right things, you know, and just getting sweat." Well, last year I was around 365.
Yeah. Would you learn that last year that hey, I have to take care of myself? Is that was something that really clicked in for you that you could watch what everybody else does?
Yeah, this is such a long season. You got to take care of your body. You know, stay in shape. And that's the biggest thing, you know. So, yeah, I'm getting a little better shape.
What about this defensive line? What do you think? Do you guys have a chance to be pretty good this year?
Oh, yeah, we're pretty good. We have Cam, Steve, all the guys, Tua coming back. So, yeah, we're going to be pretty good. We just got to keep working. I feel like we're going to be one of the best in the NFL.
Mitch still on you?
Oh, always. He's always a tough coach. That's what we like. We like to work for him, and he likes to train us.
Pretty powerful out there. Is that a big part of your game as well, just pushing the pocket back?
Yeah, yes, sir. I got to. Got to get pressure on the quarterback, and I have to get my linebackers to make the plays. You know.
Back in high school, you said how much did you weigh?
Most playing weight, conditioning, eating better.
Yeah. You're going to continue doing that. You figure as more your career goes on, that's what you have to work on.
Yeah, I got to. Got to stay in shape and you know, keep my body right.
You looking to contribute more now?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Is that tough, though? I mean, you got Steve there. You got some of your friends. But at some point, you have to look.
Coach Mitch, he really likes me as a player. And you feel like I can be a great one. So I'll just keep working.
Coach Mitch feels like he's going to be a great one. Dan McCullers there. Big Dan. I like when he referred to his weight. He goes, playing weight? He didn't want to tell me his real weight. Then he goes, that's a individual. Very smart individual. And I asked Steve McClendon the future of the nose tackle in this league. We'll have the random week when we return here as well on the Cabali Show on Trib Live Radio.
The Ultimate Gentleman's Club. Blush, one of Pittsburgh's most exotic night spots. Blush is located on 9th Street downtown. It's exotic and erotic and dining while watching your favorite teams in HD. Live this week at Blush, penthouse and hustler model Sarah Hunter. Don't miss steampunk princess Sarah Hunter all this week at Blush. It's time you made the switch to Blush, 9th Street downtown. Remember, everyone ends up at Blush. For more info, visit our
Freeport, where auto sales and service is a walk in the park. 70 in-stock Devi Ride certified value prices. We offer a wide selection of Devi Ride certified vehicles that undertake a rigorous reconditioning process. They come with some great benefits that you can't find at other dealerships. 71 Devi Auto Park, where auto sales and service is a walk in the park. DeviAutoPark.com.
Now back to the Mark Cavalli Show on Trib Live Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Got about 15 more minutes. Very weird rant. I don't even know the name of it. My rant is people that, as ironically, we're talking about food and we're talking about Dan McCullers. This weird obsession now in Pittsburgh and you're around here, as I like to call it, the get-go. You go to the get-go, they got posters and billboards around about their new sandwich. The get-go and the sandwich called the General. Did you see this? This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. If one person's eating this, tweet me right. General So's Chicken. Everybody loves General So's Chicken. I love General So's Chicken. I guess it's a sandwich on a roll, but they have like egg rolls or vegetable spring rolls on top of it into a sandwich. So I'm biting into, I don't even know. I can't even find the actual ingredients in this.
I can't even find it on Google.
What's in the General?
I can't even find it on Google to find out. This is crazy.
Anybody out there knows what the get-go General sandwich is? Let me know. But that's my rant. Do we really have to put like stuff together? Can we go separate here? Can't we go separate? So that would be good. I'm not bad with combining all food. I'm a big fan of the corn and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the chicken. Doesn't Kentucky Fried Chicken, or is it KFC? My friend used to call it Cucky Fried Chicken. You know what Cucky is, right? Cucky's poop.
Rather I just not mention any kind of sort of reference to feces.
My goodness.
I know, they're boring.
I know, Kenny probably doesn't produce. Oh, you know what? That's funny you should say that. Me and Ken Laird went to Cincinnati for the Bengals game. It had to be a while ago. And I let Ken Laird crash and poop, and Ken Laird just destroyed the room. I couldn't even go. It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
A guy that just eats like nuts and berries, you think would. Oh, my God, we're way off pace here.
I am mentioning this tomorrow.
How in the, yeah, he has to. I'm like, Kenny, what in the world? Whatever. I don't know how I'm going to make the possible transition into that. I can make a transition into Steve McClendon and get-go. One day I was coming home from a taping of Final Word. No, it wasn't even taping. It was live, so it was late. It was like after and Southside. So I'm like, whatever. And as I'm coming out, I see Steve McClendon pull up in his Camaro and just shake his head, open the hood, shake a wire, and the star card started up. He looked so miserable. So that's my get-go in Steve McClendon. I don't know. Steve McClendon's a big... For what he's asked to do, I think he's performed pretty well. And nothing makes me more mad, or does it matter? Who cares? We're on radio. Nothing makes me more upset than when Casey Hampton was here. You know who wouldn't have been effective now or as effective? Casey Hampton. Because you know what? You could, like, I'd ask Steve McClendon, and you'll hear me ask him about scheming out receivers and run the ball. Why do you think the Steelers used three wide receivers, spread Mike Heath Miller out wide? All of a sudden, you got to bring in your sub package. Guess who it leaves room for? Le'Veon Bell. But fire Todd Haley. This has a little West Coast tendencies in it.
Yes.
Other than the timing routes more. It's more like yard after the catch. Would that be fair? It's
very
offshoot
fair.
Of it.
And I think it, and with good reason, it's something that should be done. If you think about the two teams that played in the Super Bowl, both of them.
What is that? 1991?
91. December 22nd, 1991.
Atlanta, Denver.
Vintage Deion Sanders in the black Atlanta Falcons.
You don't see. This is actually a little bit. This is right during their dynasty. I think I saw Steve Berline out there. So nose tackle right there. I don't even know. I mean, it's been 91. It's been more than 20. It's been like 25 years ago.
That is Steve Berline at quarterback.
I have a Steve Berline jersey when he played for the Phoenix Cardinals. I guess before the expansion draft, was that Herschel Walker? The evolution of the nose tackle. Very smart man. Got a couple minutes left. Well, here's my conversation, and you can hear it exclusively. You hear things like this on the Cabali Show on Trib Live Radio. Exclusive interviews. 5 minutes worth of goodness right here of Steve McClendon.
How's it going out there? I mean, just
everything right now is all about technique, learning, just getting better day by day. Not really trying to get hurt or injured out here. So everybody just flying around, trying to learn and just pick up on the pace again because we've been off for a while.
Is it
when you get up, it's going to be physical. That's what we're trying to establish right here. It's just the physicality. And that's the biggest thing right now. But right now, we just focusing on getting better, learning. You know, learning with defense. So when you get to training camp, you can do it without thinking. I believe in my teammates. That's what I believe in. I don't believe in what nobody else say. I believe in what my teammates can do. We are a talent. And I'm not going to say we have a long way to go. I feel like we have the pieces, and the guys understand where we're trying to go.
You guys went from 30-some-year-old as a defense to...
That's football. We know that's the National Football League. Guys come and go. You know, one day I'll be in that same situation. So you can't look at it like that. You have to look at it for day to day, getting better every day. Just when you come in this building, you have one thing on your mind, and that's getting better, trying to win the championship. I like everybody that we have. You know, we can't keep everybody, but I like everybody. You know, we have a very talented room. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Guy you work next to all the time is Dan. It looks like he slimmed down a little. Did he get the message that, hey, you better take care of your body if you want to be successful?
I understand the NFL now a little bit better. So I want to be in better shape. I want to lose a little weight. He took upon himself to do that.
Yeah. He probably sees you and says, that's how he does it. I better be doing the same thing if I want to be successful, right?
He can't really look at me because we're two different players. Yeah. But, you know, you can go out to people.
He doesn't know how strong he is or how good he can be, Dan?
Almost definitely. Him, Tuitt, Cam, all the potential is like unlimited. You know, they're going to get better. We are going to continue to get better. All the guys, the young guys we have, all of them have potential.
See, where do you see the nose tackle position going in the league? I mean, it seems like if teams want to scheme you guys out of the game, they can. I mean, has it been de-emphasized, the nose tackle, because of that?
More what do you mean by scheme?
You know, putting four wide receivers out there and making.
That's about being able to, the more you can do. Someone tells us all the time, the more you can do, you're going to make yourself more valuable. And if you're a nose tackle, make yourself valuable by being able to know all the nickel stuff, all the sub-package stuff.
So the day of the huge nose tackle almost gone, you're going to have to move out into the...
We're all supposed to be at, and that's the biggest thing. We all talk, we all communicate. And the biggest thing about our D-line, we run to the ball.
Could you see yourself more nickel this year? I mean, you see you three starters and maybe Dan. Other than that, you don't really know. Can you see yourself being?
It doesn't, you know. It's all about what the coaches want at that time.
That was Steve McClendon. My great conversation with him. While you guys are listening to him, I'm really, really obsessed with this General Sandwich, and I cannot find it.
I can't find it either. I can't even find a picture of it.
They have like billboards.
That's frustrating.
You know what? When in doubt, look on Twitter. Charlie Tweeter.
Every time I bring up the General, it shows me the insurance site.
I put the General and somebody wrote something about disgusting looking, isn't it?
Found a picture on Twitter and it has egg rolls on it.
That's what I'm saying. That's my whole point of this rant. And there's billboards everywhere. What else? There's some kind of like gooey sauce on it too on top. You see it?
It was probably the General So sauce.
No, isn't that what the chicken
would
be on?
On top of the egg rolls.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. We think that's like mustard on the way home.
I'll eat one later and tell you what it was like. I'll actually take a picture of it. I'll put it on Twitter and I'll tell you what it was like eating it. And we'll talk about it next week.
We're going to have to because it's disgusting. And honestly, who in the world comes up with this in marketing? You know what? Let's make a sandwich. Let's put an egg roll with mustard on top of a piece of chicken.
As soon as
you're
going
to eat the whole thing, you're going to deconstruct it.
I'm going to deconstruct it. I will do a full critique on the General Sandwich.
Because, you know, you sometimes watch these cooking shows on TV, and when they screw something up, they call it deconstructed something. You know? Instead of an apple pie, it all falls apart. A deconstructed apple pie. No, it just fell apart.
I will tag you in every single piece
now,
of commentary.
Now, the thing is, if you ever go to Chinatown Inn down the street.
Great place.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, they made one.
Ming Na's family.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, her family owns it.